when it comes to natural resources in Wisconsin, water is among the most important. We rely on it to drink, to grow our food, and to provide opportunities for recreation.
But our next guest says there are some serious issues facing groundwater here in the state. He's calling on the legislature to take action and come up with solutions that protect and manage the state's groundwater in a fair and comprehensive way.
Joining us now is Mark Redston, president and CEO of Clean Wisconsin. Along with two other environmental activists, he recently wrote an opinion piece calling for a balanced approach to groundwater management in the state. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for asking me.
So, Mark, in your opinion, what is the state of Wisconsin groundwater here in 2015?
I'm sorry.
The state of Wisconsin groundwater. How would you characterize it?
The state of Wisconsin's groundwater is really threatened right now. I mean, there is, it's hard to imagine that in a state of like Wisconsin, where you have so many lakes, rivers, and streams, that we could actually have an issue of groundwater not being available for drinking or for use. But in some parts of our state, we're really seeing a burden on those resources. In some parts of the state, it's so extreme that rivers and lakes are actually drying up.
Well, paint a picture for us, if you will. If you were to do a scan of Wisconsin, what would you see in terms of some of these concerns that you're just outlining?
Well, if you were to go around Wisconsin, you would see in parts of the state, like primarily the biggest part of the state, Washera County, Marquette County, Central Sands Region, Adams County. There's an area of the state where there is so much use of the groundwater that the lakes and rivers are drying up. So you're seeing, you know, property owners who once bought a house on the edge of a lake with piers that extend hundreds of yards out, and so they now have a mud front property. And you can even see entire river segments that are dry. In 2013, American Rivers listed the Little Plover River near Stevens Point as one of the most endangered rivers in the country because it runs dry. So these are problems that are not unique to California anymore. These are problems that we're starting to see in our state. And I mentioned the Central Sands region of central Wisconsin, but these issues extend to northwestern Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin, western Wisconsin. It's all over the place, and it's going to get even more so unless we can begin to look for a balanced approach to using our groundwater.
It's interesting because here we are in Wisconsin. We're flanked by the Great Lakes on two sides. We've got lakes abundant in northern Wisconsin and peppered throughout the rest of the state. It's hard to imagine that groundwater is not abundant here. What is the disconnect between the perception of the water around us and the resources that we have to use?
Well, we're just using it at an unsustainable level. So there's lots of pressures on our groundwater. We use our groundwater for drinking. 70% of Wisconsinites use groundwater for their drinking supply. We use it for irrigating our fields, and we're just not taking enough care think about how that groundwater resource is affecting the surface water and other uses in Wisconsin, and we're using it at an unsustainable level.
Now, in your recent opinion piece, you say that the problem of available groundwater is at a crisis level in central Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. That's a strong statement. In particular, why a crisis level in central Wisconsin?
Well, over the last 3 years, you've seen a 40% increase in high-capacity wells in that area. It's an area of the state that is where all the surface waters are fed by the groundwater. So a significant overuse of water, which is beginning, it's been there for a while, but it's getting even worse, is starting to have dramatic impacts on the livelihoods of people who live there. So, you know, our current protections, our current laws in Wisconsin don't protect citizens adequately, and they're finding that when they go to the DNR to get some sort of remedy for the problems they're seeing, they don't have any. And so they're having to spend, you know, their personal resources to hire attorneys and to go into a very contentious and costly legal setting. And it's neighbors against neighbors. It's just not a a process that's going to yield good results. And so the state of Wisconsin, our leaders, our legislators especially, need to listen and see what's happening in central Wisconsin and respond. Other states have already done so. Both Michigan and Minnesota have a similar situation with lots of agricultural users, lots of drinking water use on their groundwaters and groundwater supply, and they have looked and made a plan to go forward that is sustainable. And the solutions are there. They're not that complicated. It just takes a willingness and a leadership.
Mark Redston is with us right now. He's president and CEO of Clean Wisconsin. He's calling on the state legislature to adopt a balanced approach to groundwater management in the state of Wisconsin. Now, looking at central Wisconsin again, you mentioned high-capacity wells as part of the problem. Let's talk about that for a moment. What is going on with those wells that there's such a high output of water coming out of these wells, and how long has this been a problem?
Well, what you're seeing is a proliferation of large confined animal units, large factory farms that are starting to happen. I mean, it's a part of the state where you have very sandy soil, so it's good for growing crops, but it's a thirsty soil. It's a sandy soil, so you need to irrigate quite a bit. Because of the conditions of that landscape, there's a lot of people who are interested in being, of using the water resources there and, siting their dairy farm or having a large vegetable farm of some sort. So those conditions are just getting more and more extreme and just need to be managed better.
Now, if you're a farmer at one of those organizations that you mentioned, you're going to say, well, I need this water for my livelihood. This is how I make my money and I need my water. So where's the balance point there?
Well, I think it's you have to look at sound science. So you can't make these decisions to issue a high-capacity well in isolation. They need to be considered in the context of all of the other things that are happening in that region. And, of all of the permits that are issued in Wisconsin, the high-capacity wells are the only ones that never expire. So we issue a high-capacity well, and it's a very significant permit that you need to make sure you get right. These are high volumes of water and they don't expire, so you're not able to review them except unless there's a transfer of ownership or they need to reconstruct the well or do something of that significance. But if everything is in proper use, they just go on without any sort of review by the Department of Natural Resources. So if you keep putting them in a place where in a place where the water supply is already taxed, you're going to have even more problems. So we just need to look at these individual applications and make good decisions about them. We want to use the resource. We don't want to abuse it.
Well, and earlier this month, a Republican-backed bill was introduced that would allow people to replace, rebuild, or transfer high-capacity wells without state approval.
That's right.
And what do you see as the possible impact of that bill?
Well, I mean, that's not only the status quo, which is unsustainable, that's going backwards, because that's the only time DNR presently has the opportunity to review and make changes to a high-capacity well permit. So to memorialize bad decisions and then not allow any opportunity for review is just a gigantic step backward and is absolutely not sustainable.
Now, proponents of that bill say that if a property changes hands, there's uncertainty there for the person picking up that property, that maybe that permit won't be renewed and it's a time of uncertainty that doesn't need to be there, and this bill would address that. What do you say to that?
Well, if it's a sustainable well, it should be allowed to be re-permitted. But the problem is that, the common sense solution is just taking a look at what is happening and the cumulative impact of all of these wells. And we have to begin to do that. We can't bury our head in the sand and say that these wells should be issued no matter what. The water of Wisconsin belongs to the people of Wisconsin. And when we withdraw millions of gallons of water, it has an impact on your neighbor and on the resources around you. So there needs to be consideration, careful consideration of that. Other states make that a very high priority, and
right.
we don't.
What have other states done?
So there, Minnesota and Michigan, the two state neighboring states, have different strategies. Michigan, for example, has invested in a very robust and ecologically minded online system. So it's very easy and transparent for people who want to get a permit to enter their address and where they would like to get a high capacity well and look and see, is that a red, yellow, or green area for permitting? And that red, yellow, and green information is based on very good information about what's, you know, what's going on in the environment. So they get clarity. As well, the cost of a high-capacity well permit is about $2,000 for one, your first application in Michigan. Here it's $500. It's four times what it costs in Wisconsin and Michigan. And people are happy because they have a very good system that works, that's transparent, and is protective of the resources. Another example that Michigan does is they have about 20 full-time employees to manage all of their high-capacity well permit applications. Wisconsin, as in contrast, has five. So Minnesota is taking a different approach. They don't have an online system, but they make investments in having sufficient resources. They have nearly 60 people, 10 full-time and 50 part-time people to manage their high-capacity well permits. So they're making significant investments and making good decisions at the time a permit is issued. As well, they're making it a high priority to have public access be a consideration in the process and not, you know, excluded from the decision-making process.
We're talking with Mark Redston, president and CEO of Clean Wisconsin. He's calling on the state legislature to adopt a balanced approach to groundwater management here in the state of Wisconsin.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you see as the biggest issue, the biggest concern facing groundwater here in the state? What solutions, what changes, if any, would you like to see? How would you like to see the state's water protected into the future? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Mark Redston, president and CEO of Clean Wisconsin. He's calling on the state legislature to come up with comprehensive solutions to protect groundwater here in Wisconsin.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you see as the biggest issues facing groundwater in the state, and how would you like to see those addressed? How would you like to see the state's water protected for future generations? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we go to our callers right now. We have Richard joining us first from Wausau. Richard, hi.
Hello.
Hi, what do you think?
Well, with regard to the concern of the adequacy of our fresh water, I think California is faced with some of that to a larger degree, but it was demonstrated or discovered that 70% of the rainwater was running into the ocean. And I think here in Wisconsin, we probably could build more reservoirs to capture that. And secondly, I think we need more innovation than regulation.
All right, Richard, thank you for the call. What about that? Should we be, are we being wasteful and not capturing more rainwater? And what about more innovation instead of regulation?
Well, there's definitely a need for more regulation in this area because the way we're managing our water resources is inadequate, and it's causing significant resource problems. That being said, there is a lot that communities can do and that individuals can do to conserve water where it falls. And we're very active in implementing those policies and programs in urban areas of Milwaukee, for example, where we're helping install rain barrels and rain gardens and trying to keep water where it lands. But there's lots of things that farmers can do to manage this in a more in a comprehensive way, as well as individuals and municipalities. But there's no denying that there is a need to manage this resource more better.
So you'd like to see more regulation to manage the resource, and you gave us a little bit of a look at what other states have done, Minnesota, mm-hmm. for instance. What would you like to see done here in Wisconsin?
Well, first of all, we need to have sufficient staff resources to look at the proliferation of new high-capacity well permits. They've increased by 40% over the last 3 years, and the staffing is only 5. It hasn't increased.
Why 40% in the last 3 years? What's happening?
There's just a demand. There's more agricultural demands, more people coming in wanting to have some of our water, and that's placing a big burden on the people who use the water, all users. So there's definitely the issue of both staff resources and resources to fund the program. As the previous caller mentioned, there's lots of things that we can do for water conservation. And to make sure that we're conserving as much water as we can before we pump more out of the ground. We need to take a very broad and comprehensive look at the cumulative impacts of all of the permits and other actions that are going on the landscape. And we need to monitor. We need to monitor more carefully. And one of the things that's been a big source of frustration for us at Clean Wisconsin is that very simple things like monitoring are being challenged in every single permit by those people who are getting their new permits. So, I mean, these are common sense things that everybody should be able to agree with, but we're fighting over them right now.
And who loses out? Who's on the front lines of this if things continue as you say they're going?
Well, if they continue along this path, we're all going to suffer. As I mentioned, 70% of us rely on groundwater for drinking water. We all love to use the Wisconsin lakes, rivers, and streams. I mean, this is a very important part of our cultural tradition here in Wisconsin. And if we begin to see more and more drawdown of our water watersheds, our groundwater, we're going to have problems with the lakes and rivers that we use today. It's a very real economic impact to somebody who lives on a lake that is receding. That if you once had a lakefront property that is now a mudfront property, that's a very big and difficult economic hardship. And if you're having to build a new well or drill for a new well because the water table has dropped so much, these are very real costs that we have to begin to address now, and they're going to get worse and worse for more of us.
We're going to go back to our callers, thanks to Richard. Next up is Les from Adams County. Les, hi.
Hi. Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just a resident here that's concerned about the long-term impact of these irrigations. I was born and raised on a farm. We didn't irrigate. We had heavier ground. My dad always maintained he's gone now, but he said God wanted us to grow plants on sand. He made sure there's plenty of water. Now, that contradicts what a lot of people believe nowadays with irrigations. But my concern is twofold. One, which you kind of touched on about the wells and what will happen. Is a lot of people are very concerned about it and the drawdown on lakes and streams. They maintain here in this county, with all the irrigation farmers, that has no impact, that comes strictly out of the aquifer and that there is no impact. Well, I don't know. I can't say because I'm not qualified to make that. That's where we look to you people. The next thing is I'm very concerned, as a lot of people are in this county, about the fact that the sand has a very limited filtering ability. It isn't what they thought it was 30 years ago.
Unless I'm going to jump in, so make sure we've got some time here for Mark to respond. What about the irrigation, and especially on arid soil, sandy soil?
Well, thanks, Les. I mean, you make some excellent points. And I think the issue of having the resources that you need to contradict what's being said about the drawdown is a really big problem. I mean, these are they're putting the burden of proof onto people who don't have the resources to prove it. And organizations like Clean Wisconsin and others are trying to, intervene and help out. But we, too, have limited resources. So this is a thing that we need to have our state make good investments in. And this is part of the whole staff resources issue. Secondly, on the issue about a filtering that you just started to touch on, what I think you're starting to say is that you're not only having an issue of groundwater quantity problems, but quality issues as well. So things that get spread on the landscape in many parts of our state are more easily getting into the groundwater supply, and we're starting to see really strong evidence of bacteria, nitrates, heavy metals, other places, other things, you know, throughout Wisconsin. So this is becoming not only a water quantity issue, but also a water quality issue.
And that issue that you were talking about, that happens when you're saying irrigate on sandy soil, something that doesn't filter as well?
Well, I think what he's referring to is just that you, you know, in some parts of the state where you might have, let's say, a fractured bedrock and you apply manure on the surface and you have just a very thin layer of soil, it's easy for those nutrients to get through the soil, the layer of soil, and through the bedrock into the groundwater supply. And so we're learning more about how things transfer down into the groundwater, and we're starting to see more of that, more concern in that area.
Let's get in one more quick call here. We've got Brandon joining us from Barron County. Brandon, hi.
Hi. The one thing I haven't heard your guest mention, I understand the whole dairy farming. I dairy farm myself. And as far as the high capacity wells, the one thing I haven't heard you mention anything about frac sand mining. The concern I have is, if you take a look at the map of this part of the state, northwestern Wisconsin, the amount of frac sands that have high capacity wells have been issued permits in the last 5 or 6 years around this area, not to mention the chemicals that are being used to wash the sand.
Okay, thank you so much, Brandon. And what about frac sand mining and the effects there in the water usage?
Yeah, Brandon makes an excellent point. You know, not only are we seeing an increase in high-capacity wells for irrigation, we're seeing a huge increase in frac sand mining in our state, especially in western Wisconsin. And he's right. There's a very heavy use of, it's a very water-intensive process, and they use chemicals. And so we are very concerned about it, and that's just yet another pressure on the groundwater supply and on the water quality of our state.
And as we wrap up, Mark, you've got some things that you'd like to see legislation, regulation on. Do you see any of this on the horizon here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, there's as you mentioned, there's one bill that's, I think, moving the state in definitely the wrong direction. That's the introduced by Representative Rick Gudex of Fond du Lac and Representative Lee Narrison of Westby. But there's also a bill, Senate Bill 72, that's been introduced by Senator Mark Miller of Monona and Representative Corey Mason of Racine. And that bill will do some of the things that I mentioned earlier, you know, provide adequate resources, make sure we have water conservation, make sure that there's a broad look at cumulative impacts and we have sufficient monitoring. Now, it's likely that there will be some compromise bill between those two, and State Senator Rob Coles of Green Bay is looking at that language.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Mark Redston, president and CEO of Clean Wisconsin. He co-authored a recent opinion piece calling for a balanced approach to groundwater management in Wisconsin.